Hello, this is Jeff Buckley with Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries. We're in Genesis chapter 15, going into chapter 16, and we've been looking at Abram and Lot and what God, the promise that God had given to Abram, and the Lord speaking to him and showing him that what he had said was going to happen was going to happen. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for your word, for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for your promises, for your strength, for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the body given. We thank you for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray that you might touch our hearts even today. Help us to serve, to do thy will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we're sort of breaking into the middle of the story here, but we remember the last time we were together that God told Abram, here's how you're going to know that the promise I've made to you is going to be fulfilled. Your children are going to be slaves for 400 years, and they're going to come out with a great deliverance. And we said, truly, you would think when if God had said, this is how you're going to know that the promise I've given to you is going to be fulfilled, I'm going to turn that rock over there into gold. No, that's not how God did it. And it's still not how God does it, because God still deals with us on the basis of faith. And if you were to say to God, God, I really need some proof that Jesus died for my sins and that his blood was enough, and I need to see something, God has never dealt that way. It was enough. God said it. You have to believe it. I have to believe it. Don't expect him to go out and turn lead into gold for you to prove to you that he's God, because that might be the most damaging thing that could ever happen to you. He's dealing by faith today. But he says not only that, but you'll go to your fathers in peace and you'll be buried in a good old age. Now, it was nice to know this, but still yet, how could this be an indication of the fulfillment of promise when I'm going to be dead when this happens? And we mentioned the fact that Abram was not, he didn't stay dead. If you remember the story in Luke of Lazarus and the rich man, that when the rich man went into hell, he spoke to Abraham. And he said, Father Abraham. Well, Abraham was alive, wasn't he? Well, that's what God was saying. Abraham, you know when you're going to find out that this is fulfilled? You know when you're going to see it? After you're dead and gone. You know how you're going to have the most solid proof? You know how we're going to have the most solid proof that Jesus died for our sins? After we're dead. Praise the Lord. It's going to be after I've left this earth and I see him face to face and I'm touching nail prints in his hands and I cast my crowns at his feet. And I dwell in heaven forevermore, and then I'll have the best proof that I could ever have that this thing that he has said is true. Don't that sound foolishness to you? Well, God said that it was foolishness to you. If you're not saved today, he said that he's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things that are wise, and the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. And if you want to be saved today, you've got to become weak, and you've got to become foolish, and you've got to believe God. And you've got to trust him. Things that you can't see with your eyes, but you can see with your heart. If you'll put your trust and your heart in him. He's died for your sins. He's been buried and he rose again. And he's still there. He's on the right hand of God making intercession for all those who will believe. Do you trust him today? Will you trust him today? And it's not by sight, but it's by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. And this is the fulfillment of that in Abraham. He believed in the Lord, and God put it to his account for righteousness. Now it says, in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. This statement, though short, is so full of meaning. God here telling Abraham of the fulfillment of his promises, of the proof of his promises, says, a short statement, the iniquity or the sin of the Amorites is not yet full. There is a time, even in nations, there is a point when the sin will become no greater, but then God will deal with that nation and will judge that nation. I believe he has done this in times past, and he will do it yet again. I believe there will come a day when God deals with this nation as he has with every other nation. There will come a day, he says in his word, that he's going to deal with every nation. And he's going to grind them to powder. But that's a story for another time. But the fact that the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full, God was being long-suffering with these people. He was allowing them enough rope to hang themselves, or enough rope to keep from hanging themselves. But the iniquity finally did fill up, and God said it's going to happen. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, and saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river Egypt, unto the great river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. He'd given them all that land. You know the people of Israel today is being said over and over, deal land for peace, land for peace. Give us a little bit of land and we'll give you some peace. That is a lie. Those people are not going to see peace until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't trade land for peace. It'd be nice. It might give you a temporary peace. But it's not the permanent peace that the children of Israel are going to see. And they haven't taken all the land that God had originally given to Abraham yet either. And again, story for another time. Now we look into Sarai in chapter 16. Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. One thing you're going to find that's pretty consistent in the Word of God, whenever you find Egypt mentioned, it's not good. And it's not in the context of goodness, and there's nothing good going to come of it. Egypt represents the world in Scripture. Here's Hagar, who would represent the flesh. She also is told in Galatians to represent the law. And she was not the one of promise. She was not the one through whom the promise had been made that Abram's child was going to come who was going to be the inheritor, or to be the seed. Sarah couldn't have any children, so she took Hagar and said, Behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing, I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. So what they were going to do is to send Abram into Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid. He was going to get her pregnant. They were going to take the child for themselves, and this was going to be the promised seed. Well, they were getting up to the age that they couldn't have children. This was a sensible thing to do. It made perfectly good sense, but it was not the promise of God. There are many promises that God has given us, and we can't try to fulfill those promises in the flesh. We must simply trust God and wait on him, but of course we're so impatient, ain't we? Well, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Naturally, Hagar now, being given to Abram as for a wife, and of course, you know, this is one of the complications whenever there were more than one marriage, more than one couple in the Bible. When a man would marry more than one woman, strife in the family. You see it over and over and over again. That's why Jesus said in the beginning, you saw Adam and Eve, and that's how it was, and that was the ideal, and that's what should have been. Whenever you see such events as this sin in Abram's life and Sarai's life, it's always a bad thing, and it's always going to lead to strife. It's always going to lead to destruction. Poor Ishmael is going to pay for this. Hagar is going to pay for this. Abram's going to pay for this. Sarai is going to pay for this. There's nothing good about sin. Well, she begins to despise Sarai. And Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I've given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. That is a strong statement. I don't know if you've ever heard that statement made before. I don't see, it's almost presumptuous, I believe, for Sarai to say this. It was true, Abram should have said, no, Sarai, we got the promise of God, we should stick with it, let's don't bring Hagar into this. I know, I understand we're getting old, we're not going to be able to have children before long, but we can't do this. And now Sarai says, the Lord judge between you and me. You know, if you say that to somebody, if you've come to a point of strife, if you've come to a point of disagreement, and you come to the point and you say, the Lord judge between you and me, then you are really saying, I'm the one who's right and you're the one who's wrong. Or I have confidence that God's going to take care of this problem the way it should be. That is a strong statement that she makes to Abram. Well, Abram said to Sarah, behold, your maid is in your hand. Do as it pleases you. And Sarah dealt hardly with her, and she ran from her. Sarah began to deal hard with Hagar. Now, Abram says, it's in your hand, Sarah. You deal with her like you will. Well, Sarah begins to deal hard with her, and Hagar flees the scene. Well, the angel of the Lord finds her by a fountain of water in the wilderness toward the way of Shur. And he speaks to Hagar, Sarah's maid, and asks her where she's coming from and where she's headed. And she says, I'm running from my mistress, Sarai. And the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, that you are with child, and shall bear a son, and call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke to her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked for him that seeth me? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So you see why they would think, I'm getting a little too old to have children. 86 years old, and he has a child. It's true that they lived longer in these days, but still yet the age of ability to have children only went so far. And here he has Ishmael. Now the Lord appears to Abram again in chapter 17 for the fulfillment of the promise. We're not going to have time for that. But what we do want to see, any sin that we commit, we're going to pay for it. Abram and Sarah are really going to pay for what they've done here with Hagar. So is Hagar. So is Ishmael. Men and women, we need to be careful and try not to sin against God. That will be my prayer for till the next time we're together. May God keep us from presumptuous sins and from sins. This is Jeff Buckles with the Two Raises Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you for being with us once again. Join us next week, Monday to Friday, from 1 to 1:15 with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.